Mr. Entwistle and Inspector Morton looked at each other appraisingly. In his neat, precise manner, Mr. Entwistle had placed at the inspector's disposal all the relevant facts about Cora Lanskene: her upbringing, her marriage, her widowhood, her financial position, her relatives. Mr. Timothy Abernethy is her only surviving brother and her next of kin, but he is a recluse and an invalid, and is quite unable to leave home. He has empowered me to act for him and to make all such arrangements as may be necessary. The inspector nodded. It was a relief for him to have this shrewd, elderly solicitor to deal with. Moreover, he hoped that the lawyer might be able to give him some assistance in solving what was beginning to look like rather a puzzling problem. He said, "I understand from Miss Gilchrist that Mrs. Lanskene had been north to the funeral of an elder brother on the day before her death. That is so, Inspector. I myself was there. There was nothing unusual in her manner, nothing strange or apprehensive?" Mr. Entwistle raised his eyebrows in well-simulated surprise. "Is it customary for there to be something strange in the manner of a person who is shortly to be murdered?" he asked. The inspector smiled rather ruefully. "I'm not thinking of her being fey or having a premonition. No, I'm just hunting round for something, well, something out of the ordinary." "I don't think I quite understand you, Inspector," said Mr. Entwistle. "It's not a very easy case to understand, Mr. Entwistle. Say someone watched the Gilchrist woman come out of the house at about 2 o'clock and go along to the village and the bus stop. This someone then deliberately takes the hatchet that was lying by the woodshed, smashes the kitchen window with it, gets into the house, goes upstairs, attacks Mrs. Lanskene with a hatchet, and attacks her savagely. 6 or 8 blows were struck." Mr. Entwistle flinched. "Oh yes, quite a brutal crime. Then the intruder pulls out a few drawers, scoops up a few trinkets, worth perhaps a tenner in all, and clears off." "She was in bed?" "Yes. It seems she returned late from the north the night before, exhausted and very excited. She'd come into some legacy, as I understand." "Yes." "She slept very badly and woke with a terrible headache. She had several cups of tea and took some dope for her head, and then told Miss Gilchrist not to disturb her till lunchtime. She felt no better, and decided to take 2 sleeping pills. She then sent Miss Gilchrist into Reading by the bus to change some library books. She'd have been drowsy, if not already asleep, when this man broke in. He could have taken what he wanted by means of threats, or he could easily have gagged her. A hatchet, deliberately taken up with him from outside? Seems excessive." "He may just have meant to threaten her with it," Mr. Entwistle suggested. "If she showed fight, then, according to the medical evidence, there is no sign that she did. Everything seems to show that she was lying on her side, sleeping peacefully, when she was attacked." Mr. Entwistle shifted uneasily in his chair. "One does hear of these brutal and rather senseless murders," he pointed out. "Oh, yes, yes, that's probably what it will turn out to be. There's an alert out, of course, for any suspicious character. Nobody local is concerned, we're pretty sure of that. The locals are all accounted for satisfactorily. Most people are at work at that time of day. Of course, her cottage is up a lane outside the village proper. Anyone could get there easily without being seen. There's a maze of lanes all round the village. It was a fine morning, and there's been no rain for some days, so there aren't any distinctive car tracks to go by, in case anyone came by car." "You think someone came by car?" Mr. Entwistle asked sharply. The inspector shrugged his shoulders. "I don't know. All I'm saying is there are curious features about the case. These, for instance." He shoved across his desk a handful of things. A trefoil-shaped brooch with small pearls, a brooch set with amethysts, a small string of pearls, and a garnet bracelet. "Those are the things that were taken from her jewel box. They were found just outside the house, shoved into a bush." "Yes, yes, that is rather curious. Perhaps if her assailant was frightened at what he'd done—" "Quite, but he would probably then have left them upstairs in her room. Of course, a panic may have come over him between the bedroom and the front gate." Mr. Entwistle said quietly, "Or there may, as you were suggesting, have only been taken as a blind." "Yes, several possibilities. Of course, this Gilchrist woman may have done it. 2 women living alone together? You never know what quarrels or resentments or passions may have been aroused. Oh, yes, we're taking that possibility into consideration as well. but it doesn't seem very likely. From all accounts, they were on quite amicable terms. He paused before going on.